Not only does Byron Brown want to win, I think he's got his sights set on some records, too.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Not only does Byron Brown, he's so incredibly confident, but not only does he want to win, but I think he's got his sights set on some records. We're going to talk about what those could be. We're going to talk about practice outlook. Today's the first football practice, spring practice. Officially of the year, the first practice of the Golish era, and then we're going to talk about hoops and baseball. It's a big day. It's a big Auburn sports day. Hope you're bundled up. Happy St. Paddy's Day, I think, is today too. So I got my sort of green on, ready to rock and roll. But let's just jump right into it. This is going to be a big fan interaction episode as well. So I need you guys in the chat popping off when we get to the records point. But Byron has done a ton of media appearances. Okay, he's done a lot of events, he's done a lot of podcasts. Maybe we'll get him on here one day. But he was on Jason Campbell and Taylor Davis's podcast, and there was one particular part. It's great, it's entertaining, and you get a little bit of a more peel behind the curtain as far as Byron Brown and the way he ticks. There's one exchange that I think was precious. And I got to go over it. And then we're going to talk about some quarterback records. But here goes.
Man, Jay, do you still hold any records?
Yeah, right now the winningest quarterback record and the highest completion percentage record, I think.
All right. I'm just
putting it out. What's the completion percentage?
It's 69.7, I think.
69.7? Okay.
Okay. He said that.
I love that. First of all, Jason, this is classic. Like, guy right here, okay? I think all-time completion percentage, I think. And then he rattles off not only the statistic, but the decimal after it. Come on, my man. You know what that stat is. You know what you threw against Alabama in the Iron Bowl in 2004. Just like me. I know all the – I know that I – you know, all the receptions I had. I know all my baseball stats. That's just a guy thing, okay? But I love that he said, I think it's – I still have that record. But what I liked is that Byron Brown was like, okay, what's that percentage? Okay, what's that percentage? Because that's my mindset, is I'm coming in not only to just win, I'm coming in – to break records. So let's look at some of those records. Okay. Let's talk about some of the quarterback records. And look, he doesn't have really the option or really the potential to take any career records, obviously. But there's some single season quarterback statistics that are completely up for grabs. Okay. Love all the quarterbacks that have been in Auburn lore, Auburn history. But look, let's just be honest. There ain't just any statistics out there that blow you away, okay, from a quarterback standpoint. So let's start right there with completion percentage, 69.7%. Byron, I would not classify as a sniper. I wouldn't classify him as a sharpshooter by any means. He's pretty much hovered right around the 65% completion percentage area. He's 64.8 his freshman year. He got hurt his sophomore year, and then 66.3 his junior year. So right there, I mean, split the difference, we're at 65. So that's a pretty big jump. That's a pretty big jump. And I would say in this goalish system, if you complete 70% of your passes, you are balling, okay? Because they put it in the air a lot. And I went back through a lot of his quarterbacks. Even Hendon Hooker, his best season was 69.6. We could count, go back to UCF. I'm sure Dylan Gabriel completed, a pile of passes. But I'm really primarily looking at, the two Tennessee years and then obviously Byron Brown. So the system, you would think, getting the ball out a lot, getting the ball out quick, it's a lot of easy passes. It's a lot of shots down the field, man. So completing 70% of your passes in this particular offense would be very, very impressive, and you are lighting up the scoreboard. But I tell you what, I'll take anything around 65-plus percentage. I think that would be a phenomenal year, and he's probably going to put up similar numbers if that's the case. So really, really good stuff there. All right, this is the one that's just so embarrassing, if I'm just going to be completely honest. This one's kind of embarrassing. I don't know. Maybe it's more embarrassing to me than others, but single-season passing yards leader, Damian Craig with 3,277 yards, 3,277 yards. Byram, his freshman year, surpassed that by about 15 yards, so 3,292. Okay, so that's not a very high mark. That's not a very high passing mark. Love Damian Craig as an Auburn player. Love that he's probably my favorite Auburn player of all time from an Auburn football standpoint. Not a huge fan of him after Auburn, but from an Auburn football perspective, probably one of my favorite players. 3,277, and it was impressive because it was not in 14 games either. So that's a great season, but again, that's the high watermark for Auburn. Like it's not that rare for a quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in today's game. It's not that rare for a quarterback to throw for, 5,000 yards in this day and age. Last year, over plus 3,500 yards passing, there was 15 quarterbacks that threw for over 3,500 yards. You had the Drew Messenmaker kid throw for 4,379. So, again, Golish has had quarterbacks consistently throw beyond that 3,000-yard mark. That one, to me, is up for grabs. I would say that one's definitely got a chance. What do y'all think? Do you think that one – you think that one's in jeopardy, the 3,277? Or where do you think it's safe? I think that one's in jeopardy because I don't think he's going to run as much. I think they're going to rely on the stable of running backs they've built instead of – airing the ball out. I think that one is definitely up for grabs. Okay, so now you got passing touchdowns in a single season. Passing touchdowns in a single season, you got Cam Newton with 30. That one's going to be tough. You go back, Byram's best year was last year, was 28. He threw 26 his freshman year. And I think even Hendon Hooker, he only went over the 30 one of the 2 years. The other one was about 28 touchdowns. I think that one's going to be tough. I don't know if that one is attainable. What do you guys think? 30 touchdowns, that's stout. I mean, you're talking, 2 to 3 a game, 2.5 a game almost. And as good as I feel like we're going to run the ball. I think their rushing touchdowns are going to be up from running backs and from Byron Brown. Passing touchdowns, 30. That, again, last year you only had one to go over 30. You only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks last year go over 30 touchdowns. Mendoza threw 41. Wow, I forgot about – I just didn't realize that. Then Messenmaker threw 34. Then there's a couple other 34s, 32s, and a 31. So – Sawyer Robertson, as many passes as he throws, only threw 31 touchdowns. So 30's up there. I don't know if he gets there. What do you guys think? Does he get to 31 passing touchdowns? That would be freaking phenomenal if that were to happen. TK says he could get there. I don't know. I'm going to say that one's probably safe. Rushing touchdowns for a quarterback, this Cam put this one so much – I feel like so out of reach, but, who knows? 20. So Cam had 20 rushing touchdowns in a single season for a quarterback. Byram's best year as far as rushing touchdowns go, I think, was 14 last year. Again, I just don't think they're going to – Cam had to score 20. We had to have Cam have 20 rushing touchdowns. We had to have Cam have 1,500 rushing yards. We had to have every single rushing statistic from Cam, you know, that particular year. I just don't know. Again, I just don't think – I think Byram's legs this year are going to be less of a they're going to be basically like a bonus. I don't think it's going to be something that's a huge reliance on to carry the team. Like, I don't see that necessarily happening. So, rushing touchdowns, that may be a little bit out of reach. Rushing yards for a quarterback, again, Cam Newton, his total was 1,473. That's going to be really tough. That's going to be really tough. I just don't think that Byram's going to have the opportunities to run that much. Now, if he does, holy cow. But I think his strength this year is going to be passing the ball, and then we're going to pound these running backs. We're going to pound Jeremiah Cobb. We're going to pound Bryson Washington, and then mix in Byram as needed. So when I look at it, I think completion percentage, that might be tough, but completion percentage and then single season passing yards, to me, are on the table with passing touchdowns in a single season at 30 as the wild card. We'll say that's the wild card. Is that fair? I'd rank them yards, total yards, completion percentage, passing touchdowns. How about that? Is that fair? All right, let's talk about practice outlook and like what we think we'll see today. I'll kind of talk to you guys about what you typically see at practice and what I expect, and then we'll have the breakdown later this evening. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to PayZoom. Nate Ralston, give him a call, 251-648-7580. If you take credit card payments, how do you know you're not getting every discount possible? Who would you even call to find out if you're getting every discount possible, you're getting the best rates? You call a call center, or do you have somebody local in the state that you live in or close by that you could pick up the phone and call and get that information? And also, for the still got a time for the month of March, qualifying restaurants could receive the Genius POS for free. It's like $25,000 value. If you're thinking about changing, give Nate a call. And he can help you out. And also, if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn, Opelika area, just had a listener email me last night. We may be going to look at one soon. Give me a shout, kylerush@kw.com. Buy, build, sell, or invest. I'm your guy. Would love to help you. Give me a shout. We'll be back right after this. Real quick, super chat. I love Byram's confidence and can't wait to see him play Blue Jay. That's one thing about him, man. The confidence is wild. Like, that's what I think, honestly, that's probably more comforting than anything. It's not arrogance either. It's not arrogance, because sometimes arrogance can come off like annoying. He's just like, he just believes in himself and he believes in Golish, and it just feels like he's going to get it done. I don't know. And then you got the statistics to back it up. I dig it. So let's talk about practice. Look, the media typically gets one of these a week during the season, and it's typically on a Tuesday. I'm sure they're like, what do y'all typically do? And then, okay, we'll do that as well. What do you see during those practice periods? Well, first of all, you see them stretch and warm up. And last year, to me, the big storyline, and this was reflecting in how they played. So I'm not going to say I'm going to be like, locked into how they stretch, but like the defense would stretch on one side and they would stretch as a group. They would warm up as a group, everybody together. And then the offense would warm up in pods. So it'd be like the offensive line off stretching to their cells, running backs and tight ends, wide receivers. So it wasn't a unit. And you could see it on the field. That defense always played as a unit. And then the offense sporadically, you know, was all over the place. And then what's funny is like later in the season, the offense started stretching like the defense. It was like, okay, the defense seems to be working. Let's just copy what they do. So that's where you start off. And then it goes to special teams, typically. And I'm predicting that's probably kind of what you're going to see, too. They're going to start field goal. They'll have field goals on one side, and then they'll have punting on the other. And they'll practice, you know, fielding punts and formations and how they call certain plays and returns and things like that. And then, again, you'll have field goal on the other side where, you know, last year you'd start off, you know, short, and then you'd kind of work your way back, and, you know, they'd get to back to where it's, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 50, even had some 60-yard attempts last year. So stretching, special teams, and then what you typically do. Now, Freeze did this last year, and I hope that we see this. I don't know, though, because it's a new coach, it's a new system, but they would do a short period of 11 on 11. And it was called, they called it Tiger Ball. And it would be real hitting, real plays as fast as you can. And they would run, you know, anywhere from 7 to 8 plays with the first team and then run it again with the second team. Now, you hope you see something like this because it can give you an idea of starting line rotations on the offensive line. It'll kind of give you an idea of what the wide receiver room looks like as far as depth chart. It kind of give you an idea of what defensive line, to me, those we feel like we may have an idea, but it kind of gives you a better idea of what that looks like. So hopefully we get some sort of 11 on 11. If not, it's no big deal. And then you typically see essentially individual position groups. So they'll have the defensive line breakup. They'll have the offensive line breakup. They'll have the quarterbacks. They'll have the running backs. They'll have the wide receivers. They'll have the defensive backs. Like, everybody is kind of doing their own positional drills. So we'll make sure we're going to have several guys out there broken up, making sure that we're paying attention to who's going first, what they're doing in those reps. So make sure you tune back in for those type updates. And then at some point in time, they'll kind of put those guys together. So, like, last year they would do the individual drills. Then for the last bit, it'd be wide receivers on DBs one-on-one with the quarterbacks throwing. And that was, to me, was some of the best. That was some of the best entertainment. That was where you get a lot of the best battles of the day was there. So I don't know what to expect. Again, it's a whole brand new staff. I feel like it's probably going to be something pretty similar, but I'm definitely going to be watching, obviously, quarterbacks. I'm going to be watching for offensive line rotations and depth chart. Defensive line, same exact thing. Linebackers, feel like you know what the deal is there. Safety, maybe something to watch. And then, obviously, who comes in after that 1-2 on wide receiver? Who looks like it's going to be that wide receiver 3? So we'll see. I'm pumped. It's going to be cold. It's going to be freezing. It's at 8:50, JJ. Practice is at 8:50. So that probably starts at with Freeze, that means it would start about 15 minutes later. So 9:05, Golish, I don't know. He kind of seems like he's an on-time kind of guy. But we'll see. I'm ready to see the vibe, all the differences. And kind of get a feel for this staff and how they're going to coach. So that's a big deal. But the cool, man, that's not where the action stops today. Holy cow, what a day. At 4 o'clock, you got Auburn baseball taking on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech on Baseball America is number 3. Auburn's number 5. You got 17-3 versus 17-2. It's pretty crazy this early in a season. And it's at Plainsman Park. And then, you know, in the RPI, you got Auburn way higher. You got Auburn at 7 in the RPI, which takes into account strength of schedule and things like that. And Georgia Tech way down at 40. So Auburn's played much tougher of a schedule, but that doesn't mean Georgia Tech's not good. So this could be a huge opportunity for Auburn just to continue to build their resume and keep it going. And then, obviously, you got the NIT matchup. Auburn's a 17.5-point favorite tonight. I'm curious to see what the crowd looks like. $25 tickets, general admission. Should be fun to see how that plays out and then kind of see how the team rallies and takes ownership of this tournament. Hey, it's another tournament to try to go win. We'll see the motivation. At times, there was question marks on motivation. We'll see how that plays out. What do y'all think? I don't know if Auburn covers, but I feel like they probably win the game. So, guys, I really appreciate it. I got to get ready to go to practice here in just a second. So I'll be back later this afternoon live. So make sure you got your questions ready. And I'll go through some notes and then we'll just let the chat run it from there. We'll ask questions and go as long as we want to. So make sure you're tuned into that. I don't know exactly what time. I'm thinking somewhere around 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you're subscribed where you'll get that notification. See you guys later. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.